Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Joe Malone, who is the co-author of a book on the subject of the Battle of the Sexes. Dr. Malone holds a PhD in health and human performance with a minor in neuropsychology and relational wellness. He has taught at Middle Tennessee State University and also lectured at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Malone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Newcomb. I appreciate being able to be on your show.
Sure. Okay, now, first of all, let me say this. Sometimes if somebody postulates the idea that men and women are biologically different, sometimes, in some quarters, that is such a heresy that such a person articulating that could lose their job, they could be shamed, they could you lose their livelihood, you know, whatever. It's almost like something you're just not allowed to say. And here you've co-written a book on the whole subject of the Battle of the Sexes, and you're saying, no, you know, biologically there is a difference.
Very much so, yes. And by the way, that happened to me. I was teaching on the university campus and before I wrote the book, and had a class, actually, that was for women, specifically, because of the differences that you just mentioned.
And I didn't know this.
They canceled my classes, and that gave me a chance, 2 years ago, that gave me a chance to go ahead and write the book. And so the book is kind of in response to that whole thing you just described.
Oh, my goodness, I can't believe that. Well, are there differences between men and women, biologically?
Oh, yeah. Yes, very much so. On a lot of different levels, actually down to the cellular level, but especially when it comes to sexuality, the difference in the sexuality between the two sexes is very big. For instance, you know, men have more than double the amount of brain space dedicated to sexual pursuit, and also aggression and action and that type of thing is much, much larger in the male brain than it is the female. That's just scratching the surface.
Huh. Tell more.
Okay. Well, again, men on average have about 80% more muscle fiber in their upper body and 50% more in their lower body. So generally, when it comes to any kind of a physical confrontation, men are going to win. They're better at different things as far as, like, math. We've all heard that, math and spatial reasoning and that type of thing. Women are actually better at all the verbal arts and things that would kind of lend themselves to that kinds of jobs that you see women typically taking, like school teaching, nursing, relational type jobs. Men taking more of the, you know, pest control guy, loggers, firemen, military. You know, 85% of the military is still men. So yes, the book really goes into the biology, really sets the agenda for what happens in society.
Wow. You know, it's so interesting because look at the example with transgenders, where, for example, you know, a boy says, okay, I'm now a girl. Okay, he's biologically a boy, but he says, I'm a girl, and you must treat me as that. So he is then treated as a girl, and he's allowed to compete in these track meets, and he wins because he does so much better than, you know, the girls. And by the way, I am not a good runner or anything, or fast runner, but I have often participated and continue to do that, 5Ks and 10Ks and, you know, some half marathons and so forth. The men always win. I'm sorry, you know, I'm just pointing out the facts. You know, that's what actually happens. And so then these transgender boys who are, you know, really, they're boys, but they're saying that they're women, they're winning, and there's a biological factor, isn't there?
Very much so, yes. Really, before birth, the brain, for instance, is typically organized either male typical or female typical. And so little boys, little girls come out, you know, they're born having different behavior patterns. And again, that muscularity difference that we're talking about, it's there in the beginning, but especially at puberty, it explodes with the boys, you know, going in a whole different direction as far as putting on muscle. And the girls putting on more body fat because, you know, their major function is going to be having children. So it's been that way for thousands and thousands of years. So, again, for the feminists, I'll just say it, for the feminists to come out and try to say that males and females are the same, you know, that society makes us different, it's the social construction, is just really crazy. It's really a disservice to these young people because they're really teaching them a lie.
Yeah, and in the example I just gave with the track meet, it's one thing to, you know, you win a track meet here or there. But in Connecticut, there was a real story like this, and this, the girl who came in second, who was a real girl, and she would have been in first, she lost thousands of dollars worth of scholarship for college because she was beaten by a guy that claimed to be a girl. So, I mean, there are real life consequences to this nonsense.
There very much is so, and they've had this situation and problem in the Olympics for a long time with especially Eastern European countries, especially back in the day, trying to pass off, you know, males for females, because again, they know the difference in the physiology, they know the advantages that a male has over a female. So in sports, it's been around for a while, and again, it needs to spread, the knowledge needs to spread, but there's a big denial here, Jerry, about the differences, these biological differences, and really the feminists have painted themselves into a corner, I think, with it, because they're using 1970s social science where they just postulated that society makes us the way we are, and now we have the biological research to show that that's all washed up.
Yeah. Why don't you comment a little bit about that biological research, beyond what you've already said?
Well, again, really the research that I'm talking about started in about the mid-70s. And has advanced since then, and especially in the last 10 or 15 years, with the ability to scan the brain as we have now, and also to really do deep physiological studies on the differences. I was talking about the 80% muscle fiber difference in the upper body of the guys and 50% lower in the 50% more in the lower body. All those things are documented. And again, the physiology, the difference in the testosterone levels, difference in the dopamine levels, difference in oxytocin levels. Again, males and females on average, now there's some exceptions, but on average, they will react certain ways because of their chemistry, their anatomy, and especially their brain anatomy.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting. Here's another anecdote. There was a fellow from Google. And he loved Google. He loved working at Google. He was hired there and so forth. So he had the temerity to write a memo about 2 years ago. He noticed that despite all the big push to get as many female engineers, software engineers, you know, on the team Google, as, you know, they would push. Despite all that, he said, look, there's only about 1/5 or so of the software engineers here are women.
Right.
I'd like to propose that we go ahead and figure out a way to increase that number, but let's start with this point. Perhaps there are some biological reasons why there is this disparity.
Yes.
By saying that, he became persona non grata, and he was drummed out of Google in great shame and, lost his job, and he loved Google, and he was just, you know, totally stabbed in the back by all of his former colleagues.
Yes. I was doing the research for the book about that same time, and I thought to myself, what a travesty for a young man like that. I think it's James Damore might have been his name.
Yes, that's right.
For him to be crucified, basically, for telling the truth. And that exactly, you know, what he said was exactly the truth. That's what the research will tell you. And that's as far as natural science research. But again, the folks we're talking about, the leftists and especially the feminists, will try to drum up this social science research that is really, you know, fallacious on every level. And as I said earlier, it's very much of a disservice to the young people that are coming up and being taught these things in women's and gender studies, you know, classes and just throughout the leftist establishment on university campuses.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask you, where were you fired from for just speaking this stuff? Or,
well, it was the particular thing was they canceled my classes. So
yes.
It wasn't the class that was for the women. You know, again, they don't like any kind of separation.
Yeah.
They don't like anything that isn't co-ed. It was a Middle Tennessee State University.
Oh, so it's not even like, you know, some Ivy League school or something where, you know, the political correctness has a stranglehold on much of it. So
yes,
this is kind of hitting middle America, too, then.
Yeah, they're basically, Jerry, they're hiring,
Middle Tennessee.
You know, in these universities, they're hiring people that fit their political agenda, basically. So they have, you can go to any of these universities and you'll find pretty much the same leftist agenda.
Yeah. Now, you co-authored this book with a nurse or something? Or
she's actually a nutritionist, a master's level nutritionist and registered dietitian. She's actually one of my former students. I had her in class in 2007.
Okay.
Yes.
And now, is the book, the purpose of the book is more than just what we've been discussing. Is that correct? The battle of the sexes?
Yeah, it's to point out this biological evidence, research evidence, and also to hopefully make it clear that if men and women understand themselves on a realistic basis, what's really happening inside of them, that a lot of these problems that we've been, that society's been bringing up, the Me Too movement and all the other things that go along with it, the Gillette thing, really, I think can be alleviated because men understanding themselves better, women understanding themselves better on a biological level, and then understanding each other, I call that sexual empathy, can only help the situation instead of having these falsehoods and these the ways that it's being portrayed now.
Huh. And where does the Bible or Jesus fit into this?
Well, again, that's the other thing. It slapped me upside the head as I was doing the research. I was simply doing the research from a very cutting-edge science, natural science perspective, and eventually as I was writing it, I realized that the Bible really agrees with this. This really agrees with the Bible, is a better way to put it.
Yes.
The science really backs the Bible and it's pro-family, because that's really the recommendation that the book comes to, is that we humans especially are helped by marriage and traditional family, because we have such a long time for our children to mature. There's no other species on Earth that has anywhere near as long as our children take to mature, and so having a mother and a father caring for those kids, on so many different levels, is such a benefit. And to go away from that is really, really a stupid thing to do.
And when it comes to sex within the context of marriage, you point out the smartest sexuality is married sexuality.
Yes, you avoid so many different problems by being married to the person you're having sex with. Again, on so many different levels. I was working on a task force for the state of Tennessee on STD prevention, and STDs, for instance, have gone through the roof since 2015 with the hookup culture, and it just continues to rise since 2015. So, and some of those they're finding out now are almost incurable. I mean, they're getting resistant to any kind of any of these things they can use against them. So, and HIV has always been a huge problem, but the Tinder and those different apps are also contributing to this whole situation, this whole promiscuity situation. So it's an ugly situation that's only getting uglier.
Huh. Any comments about the Me Too movement?
Yes. Yeah, the Me Too movement, again, is, there's a little bit of it that's positive, because we all know there are some bad apples as far as the guys out there. But as far as, being able to just make an accusation and guilt by accusation, no due process, and we're going to believe a woman because she's a woman, that's just a bunch of garbage, because women and men are both equally, sinful. We all have the potential for sin, and we're both vulnerable to lying, cheating, and that type of thing. So, again, Me Too movement has had a little bit of good, but a whole lot of bad. I would liken it to other things in our society where we've just, witch hunt, basically, is what I would describe it.
We have about a minute left. You have a chapter in the book, I understand, called The Testosterone Trap. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah, again, this is one of the things, if men can understand themselves and understand that we have 7 to 8 times on average more testosterone than women, and some men have 183 times more than some of the low testosterone women, that we could better, I think, self-manage if men realize this about themselves, and especially from age 15 to 25, because, Jerry, that's when it's at its highest, and that's when most of the, men have a 4 times greater chance of dying by suicide, homicide, car wreck, or drug overdose during those years than a female does. So knowing ourselves can really help us protect ourselves.
Yeah. Okay, we have 20 seconds left. How about a quick comment about romance renaissance?
That's what I think we need to do, is we need to go back to teaching chivalry to these young boys, which will help with the Me Too movement kind of situation. And we need to go back to traditional courtship, traditional marriage, and traditional family, because it worked really, really well for thousands and thousands of years.
Okay, what's your website, sir?
It is sexiq.org.
IQ. Make sure you get that Q right. Okay, thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.